好，法师，诸位菩萨，大家好，阿弥陀佛。
Venerable Masters and all the participants, good morning, 阿弥陀佛。
我很高兴今天来这边跟大家分享佛法。
I'm thrilled today to be here to share Buddha Dharma with all of you.
那今天，我先自我介绍一下好了，我是常心，哦。无常的常，心是兴隆的心。那我目前领职在纽约的香港道场。
So let me introduce myself briefly. My name is 常心，常 as in impermanence and 心 as in vigor and vibrance. And currently I am residing at DDRC.
好，那今天跟大家介绍的是，明末四大师，其中之一叫做憨山大师，他所写的《观心铭》。
And so today, what I would like to share with you is the verses on contemplating mind.By one of the four great masters at the end of Ming Dynasty, that's Master 憨山德清。
那一开始先介绍一下明末，明末那个时候中国佛教的状况。那在明末的时候呢，他在明朝之前呢，前面是宋朝跟元朝嘛，在明朝之后呢是清朝跟民国。那在明朝的时候呢有很多不同对这个佛教有不同的主张比如说他那个时候呢在教外呢也有儒家也有道家然后在这个明朝的时候呢大部分的这个大师呢都要把这些不同的观念还有不同的教外的主张把它融会而统一。
So let me first give you a very quick overview of the situation duringthe end of Ming Dynasty. So what came before Ming Dynasty was the dynasty of Song and Yuan, and what follows by Ming Dynasty was the dynasty of Qing, as well as Ming Guo. So at that time, toward the end of Ming Dynasty, there were different proposals about Buddha Dharma. At the same time, outside of the realm of Buddhism, there's also Confucius as well as Taoism.So oftentimes, when great masters are expounding on the teachings, they felt the need to integrate all these different strands of thoughts.
所以呢，明末的佛教呢，明末的大师呢，都在做这样子的努力。那明末有哪四位大师呢？第一个是莲池朱红。再来是止钵真可再来是偶意智序最后一位是憨山德清这是明末主要的四位大师。
So during the period of the end of Ming Dynasty, all these great masters, they exert their efforts in integrating these different schools of thoughts. And who are these four greatest masters in the end of Ming Dynasty. The first one is Master 莲池朱红. The second one is Master 止钵真可. The third one is Master 偶意智序. And the fourth one is Master 憨山德清.
为什么我会选择憨山德清来跟大家分享呢？因为我在师父的著作明末佛教的研究这本书当中呢师父对这个憨山德清大师的这个 禅修的的境界的诠释呢，哦，师父是说他是，哦，中国禅宗历代祖师以来他是诠释的最清楚而且最仔细的。那自己呢对，对这个禅修很有兴趣，所以呢，哦，就开始看这个憨山德清。憨山德清大师他有一本这个著作，就是憨山大师梦游集，哦，啊，他里面呢有收藏了很多的铭。什么是铭呢？铭就是他刻在这个石头上，哦，来让后世的人呢可以去，哦，追思回想的。那他也在这个憨山大师梦游集里面呢也有很多的，哦，他跟弟子呢信众呢书信的往来啊，比如说，哦，有一些弟子，哦，请教这个憨山德清大师，哦，怎么样修行，哦，或是他在禅修上有什么问题呢，哦，跟这个憨山德清大师请教啊，憨山德清呢，哦，用什么样的大师呢用什么样的方式呢来回复。那从这中间呢，哦，自己也学习很多。
So among these four great masters, why is that I chose to share with you work by Master Han Shan De Qing, Han Shan Da Shi? One of the reasons is I have read the book authored by Shi Fu, which is the study of Buddhism at the end of Ming Dynasty. And in Shi Fu's book, he had greatly praised Master Han Shan for his attainment in his own practice, as well as his ability to interpret Chan's teaching in a very clear and detailed manner. And Shifu actually deemed Master Han Shan as one of the foremost masters in achieving these. So as for myself, I am also very interested in the study of Chan. And so I came to read about this book that's authored by Master Han Shan, which is called The Compilation of Verses While Dreaming or Dream Walking, Sleep Walking. And it's actually a collection of different verses that has been carved as epitaph on stones or hard surface, as a way for people to read about it and to think back and remember his teaching. And in this book, there's a lot of collections of letters that he has exchanged with his disciples and explaining specific ways of practice as well as some methods. So I have learned a lot in this process of reading this book by Master Han Shan.
好，那今天跟大家分享的，哦，是分四个部分。那第一个呢是憨山大师的特质还有他的背景，哦，然后再来呢再来就开始跟大家介绍，哦，观心铭的部分。那观心铭的部分，憨山大师主要是，哦，跟我们分享三个主要的，哦，三个主要的，他这个观心铭里面呢有三个主要的部分。一个呢就是观念，哦，一个就是方法，然后最后一个呢是悟后的境界。
So today my talk is going to be divided into four main sections. The first one is a description of who Han Shan, Great Master Han Shan was, by talking about some of his characteristics as well as his experience and background. And then we're going to delve right straight into this verse of contemplating the mind. And by discussing this verse, we're actually going to address three different components. The first one is the overarching guiding principles of practice. The second part is methods of practice. And the third one is description of the states after attaining enlightenment.
好， 第一个部分先讲这个憨山大师的特质和背景、哦、在他的这个梦游集里面呢、哦、特别有注记，他小的时候呢、哦、他性情好静，也就是说他是比较安静的一个人，不太喜欢讲话，那常常呢独自一个人静坐思考问题，那也不会很喜欢跟这个村里的小孩子、哦、一起游戏、哦、这是第一个，就是他比较安静，然后、哦、不喜欢跟村里的小朋友一起玩，然后呢他的祖父看到他怎么常常一个人坐在旁边，他就对人说，他的祖父就常常对其他的人说，哦，这个孙子呢就好像木桩一样，哦，坐在那里。
So the first part is about the background and characteristics of Master Han Shan. So he was born in the end of Ming Dynasty, and when he was growing up, he has a tendency to like to sit in quietude, and he often sits by himself to contemplate different kind of questions, and he didn't like to play with other children from the village. So because of this, his grandpa will often share with other people, observing his grandson sitting by himself, he will say that this grandson of mine is just like a tree stump.
好，接下来，哦，憨山大师呢，他在哦，师父在这个明末佛教的研究中呢，也有提到，哦，憨山大师呢，他是明末哦，刚刚讲四位大师里面呢，他的传记呢是最完整的一位。然后师父也说，也有提到，啊，这一位憨山大师呢，他是有修有证，啊，也是。也很另外一方面呢，他也很重视这个教理义学、哦、他也有写了很多的著作、哦、流传于世、哦、也就是说呢，憨山大师他是一个行解并重、哦、的人、哦、他也有实际、哦、自己实修的过程、哦、也就是什么是实修呢，比如说打坐、哦、拜忏、哦、念佛哦、这些就是实修、哦、就是实际的去做。那什么叫解呢？解就是对这个经教的理解、哦、比如说、对这个空的理解、哦、对无常的理解、哦、或是、哦、佛典里面有很多故事、哦、去理解这些佛典里面的故事，然后他也呢写了很多的著作流传于世，表示说他这个看了佛经之后呢，经过自己的消化，然后再写出来的著作流传于世。所以说呢，师父说他是一个行解并重的大师。
So among the many masters at the end of Ming Dynasty, Master Han Shan is one who has who's able to pass down a most complete version of biography or autobiography. And he is considered by Shi Fu as someone who has solid practice as well as has reached some level of attainment. And he is well steeped in the principles of Buddha Dharma. And he passed on a lot of writings explaining the principles as well as the methods of practice. So he is someone who is well steeped in both his own practice as well as his understanding. So he's very balanced and very skillful in both areas. What is considered as real practice, he has substantial experience in meditation, or repentance practice and prostrating to the Buddha. In terms of his own understanding, he has a clear understanding of Buddha Dharma as well as concepts such as emptiness and impermanence. He's also knows a lot of stories of from the scriptures. So, and he passed on a lot of, passed down a lot of writings explaining Buddha Dharma, showing, it's a evidence showing that he has digested what he has read and he's able to then pass on the teaching. So that is why Shifu, again, emphasized he's someone who is very balanced as well as seasoned in both his practice and understanding of Buddha Dharma.
接下来呢，再跟大家介绍这个哦，寒山大师呢，他怎么样介绍哦他的禅修方法？寒山大师他所涉猎的很广，他道家的也学，然后儒家的他也学，然后他出于禅而会归于禅，他将所有的事出还有世间法呢都归于禅法。那在佛教的修行方法有很多，比如说参禅、念佛、持咒。那寒山德清大师把这些方法、哦、都会归于禅法。啊、但是呢主要、哦、寒山德清大师还是教人家以参禅为主。但是以这个念佛持咒为方便。
And the next part, we're going to talk about the methods, the teaching, the methods that he taught. So at his time, there's a proliferation of different kinds of philosophical thinking. So Master Hanshan was not only well steeped in Buddha Dharma, he also is well learned in Taoism as well as Confucianism.Yet all his understanding originated, the foundation of it originates from Chan, and ultimately they all still also subsume under Chan, returns to the understandings of Chan. And he taught many different diverse methods. There's meditation, the recitation of Buddha's name or recitation of mantra, but the main method that he focused on and the one that he encouraged people to do is the investigation of Chan.
好，接着跟大家介绍这个寒山大师呢，他在自己有修行的体验之后呢，他刚开始也不确定、哦、自己这样子的状况、哦、自己这样练习是不是如法，所以呢他在有比较深刻的体验的时候呢都会回去阅读经典来确认。也就是说呢他依据佛陀教导的方法来修行，然后他在这个修行的过程之中呢有了特殊的体验或是得到了修行的经验呢，也就是说他证悟了，他再回过头去、哦、看这个、哦、楞严经，然后再来确认呢他的这个经验呢是到什么状况了。所以说呢、有经验，自己有修行的经验呢还是要回到这个、哦、经典上面去确认。所以说这个也是、哦寒山德清大师、哦、很重要的一个特质。
Another very special characteristics of Master Hanshan is that oftentimes after he has obtained some sort of deeper or more profound experience, he would always go back to the sutra as a mean to verify his own experience.So as he go about his practice on a day-to-day basis, he follows the Buddha's teaching, and Buddha, the methods that Buddha taught. But once there's some sort of attainment and gain a deeper experience, then he again comes back to the sutra and scriptures, and he used the Surigama Sutra to verify his own experience. So this is one of the characteristics of Master Hanshan, and it's something that we need to keep in mind for ourselves, that whenever we are practicing, it's important to repeatedly come back to the sutra for guidance and verification.
好，接下来呢，师父有提到，刚刚有提到，就是在寒山德清他自序的年谱里面呢，寒山大师梦游集里面，师父说呢，寒山大师他是唯一把这个禅者的定境呢，还有悟境的叙述呢，能够有如此细微而明朗者，是禅宗史上当可推为第一。也就是说呢，他的这个禅修的体验很深，然后呢，他又可以把自己的禅修的体验呢，用这个文字呢来形容叙述，让后世的人呢，可以来学习。所以说呢，这也是师父有提到，他是第一人，把这个禅修的定境呢描述的最清楚和仔细的。
师父had also praised Master Han Shan for his ability to clearly and translate his own experience and attainment in words. So he's one of the foremost great masters who's able to do this. So in the compilation of verses, the compilation of Sleepwalking, that's the title of the book, he oftentimes described, Master Han Shan described his own state of attainment, and he was able, according to Shifu, to describe it in a way, to describe it all its subtleties, yet in a very clear way. And so this ability is considered a very special, unique attribute of Master Han Shan.
好，所以总结一下，刚刚汉山大师有哪四个特质？忘记了。解行并重还有什么？对，然后还有嘞，对，他就是会回到经典去印证，然后最后一个呢，就是他的这个定境比较深刻好，大家都有专心听，好，
Let's do a quick review. So what have we talked about? What are the four main characteristics of Master Han Shan? Does anyone remember? So the four characteristics are, the first one, he is well-balanced and very seasoned in both practice and understanding. And the second attribute is that while his main focus is on Chan, he also advocates the teaching of these other methods, prostration, mantra, recitation, but ultimately they all subsume and returns to the teaching of Chan. The third one is that Master Han Shan uses sutra and scriptures to verify his own attainment and experience. And the fourth one is that his ability to very subtly yet clearly explain the states of enlightenment.
好像在这个寒山大师梦游集里面呢，有记载到有一天呢，这个寒山大师呢，他坐在这个寺庙前面的一座这个木桥上面，他在听水声。寒山大师呢，常常用这个修行的方法呢，就是听声音的修行方法。他有时间呢，就会跑到这条桥上面呢坐着，然后听这个水流的声音。那有一次呢，他叙述自己的经验，然后他就是坐下去之后呢，就忘了自己，然后先是呢，我动念呢就听到水声，不动呢就听不到，就是自己一动这个念头呢，我就可以听到水的声音，然后自己不动念头呢就听不到。然后最后呢，所有的声音都不见了，也失去了自己。这是第一个他在这个木桥上打坐的故事。那还有一次呢，他自己在打坐用功呢，那一坐呢，就连续坐了五天。然后有人呢拿这个引磬呢，在他的身边呢敲了十几声，他才慢慢的出定。那他把眼睛张开呢，他也不知道自己坐在哪里， 那那个过来敲眼镜的人就跟他说呢，哦，那一天我走了，你坐下去，今天我再来看你呢，我走了，你就把门关起来开始打坐。那今天我看到你呢，哦，已经五天了。然后憨山大师就说，哦，他也不知道啊，他感觉好像就是只有数了一口呼吸而已。所以呢，我们这边就可以看到这个憨山大师他的定境呢，他没有这种时间长短的感觉了，哦，就是所有的长时间短时间呢，就好像一刹那的感觉。
There are a lot of stories about his state of attainment, and one of which that's in the book, of sleepwalking, compilation of sleepwalking. He wrote that once he was sitting in meditation on this wooden bridge by the temple, and this is a practice that he often engages in, that he likes to sit and listen to the sound of the stream, the sound of water passing by. And as he sat and practiced like so, he has forgotten all about himself. And he noticed that whenever his mind moves, then he's able to hear the sound of the water again. But if the mind doesn't move, then he doesn't hear the sound. And eventually, both the sound and the sense of self have perished. So that was one experience that was recorded in the book. Another one was, there was once he sat in meditation for 5 days straight, just 5 days straight, and he did not come out of meditation until someone ring the bell next to his ear several times, and he then slowly returned to the and exited his samadhi. And when he first left the samadhi, he said he didn't quite know where he was. And the person who aroused him said, well, I left you here 5 days ago, and you close the door and start sitting in meditation. And 5 days later, I return here and you're still sitting. But according to Master Hanshan himself, though, he said, I didn't know. I wasn't aware so much time has passed. To me, I only felt it was the time of one breath. Only one breath of time has passed. So this is just to illustrate that in such a deep state of samadhi, he lost all sense of time and was able to sit for a very long period of time.
好，接下来我们来开始介绍这个观心明。观呢？观是什么意思呢？观就是查看、审视的意思。心就是念头。明呢，就是我们古时候常常在这个器物上啊，或是这个石板上刻一些字来记录呢，或记述自己生平事迹或是警戒自己的文字。
So we're going to move on and go straight into the verse. The title of the verse is called The Epitech of Observing, Contemplating the Mind. And it's three different characters. The first one, contemplation, it means to observe and examine. And mind is referring to our thoughts. And the third character is epitech. It means oftentimes people will carve their own biographies or their own writings in stone or in a piece of wood as a way to remind oneself and to pass on that thinking.
所以观心明呢，就是观察、审视、查看好自己的念头。大家平常有在日常生活上有常常观察自己的心吗？有没有常常观察自己动了哪些念头，自己在想些什么？
So this verse is about how to go about to observe and examine one's own mind and one's own thought. Is this something that you do on a daily basis? Do you go around every day thinking and examining your own thoughts and mind? and reflect about the thoughts that you just had?
好，这个观心明呢，哦，是告诉我们，我们修行呢，就是要从我们的身心开始，也就是说呢，身体呢，哦，跟我们的这个念头呢，是我们的所缘境，我们可以把这个来当做修行的工具。那除了这个呢，哦，没有其他的东西可以来作为我们修行的工具，所以我们一开始的修行都是开始于我们的身体。
So when we talk about cultivating or practice, ultimately it starts from our own body and mind, the physical body and the sensations, etc., as well as our thoughts. These are objects for contemplation, objects for illumination and objects for contemplation. Outside of the body and outside of the mind, there is nothing for us to really latch on to go about without practice. So with any sorts of methods and practice, it boils down to attending to one's body and mind.
好，那接下来，我们进入观心明的主题。好，第一句，观身非身，镜像水月。那这个是，接下来这个部分呢，是寒山大师教导我们这个观念的部分，也就是说我们在修行之前呢，先要建立起正确的观念。
So, going directly into the verse, the first couple lines is looking upon the body as unreal, an image in a mirror, the reflection of the moon in water. So this first couple lines, three lines here, it's a guidance for us about the principles of practice, direction, overarching direction and principles of practice that is taught by Master Hanshan.
观身非身，镜像水月。刚开始的时候，我们在练习禅修的时候呢，我们要把这个身体呢，我不要把这个身体呢想成是我的身体，就是要观察这个身体呢不是我的身体。那但是这个身体有没有呢？有哦，它是虚幻的，它就好像镜子里面的影像和我们在这个平静的湖水哦所看到的月亮哦，它是虚幻的。
So this first line is look upon the body as unreal, an image in a mirror, the reflection of the moon in water. So how do we go about contemplating the body? It's important to contemplate the body and realize that the body and I, they are not synonymous. I am not my body. So observing this body does not belong to me. It doesn't define me. The body does exist, but it's temporary and illusory, just like the image, the reflection of moon that's on the surface of the water.
像我们在禅修打坐的时候，哦，大概都会，大部分的人呢，都会体验到这个腿痛，腿很痛，会不会痛？会。哦，我们在打坐的时候呢，体验到腿痛，我们就直接体验它。哦，师父有跟我们分享，就是腿在痛，不是我在痛，哦，是腿在痛，不是我在痛，就是用这个第三者的角度呢，哦，去看待这个腿痛。
So when we're sitting in meditation, oftentimes most of us would experience leg pains. When you sit in meditation, do you have leg pains? Yeah. And so when we are experiencing these leg pains, the method that we've been taught is to just experience the pain directly. It's the leg that Shifu shared with us. It's the leg that's in pain. It's not me who is in pain. So try to separate the two. It's the leg, but not me. So use a sort of a third-person perspective to look at the pain.
身体跟心理呢，跟心理的念头呢，在细分，佛教就把它分成五蕴，叫做色、受、想、行、识。那色呢，就是我们物质的身体，受、想、行、识，就是我们心理的状况。那我们为什么有这个身体呢？就是这个五蕴，色、受、想、行、识，聚集起来，就会有这个身体了。那受、想、行、识呢，是由精神方面，精神方面是由这个受、想、行、识所构成的。那色呢，物质的部分呢，就是从这个地、水、火、风，来构成的。所以我们在打坐的时候呢，也可以去练习，去练习，这些身体呢，是身体呢跟心理呢，都是由这些微小的元素所构成的，实际上呢，它是因缘和合而产生的，没有一个永远，或是永远的主体，在那里。
So in terms of the phenomenon that we observe during meditation, it can be divided into the materialistic phenomenon and mental phenomenon. And materialistic material phenomenon is directly related to the physical body, whereas mental phenomenon is our thoughts. And from that, phenomenon, both material and mental, is further divided and explained into as the five aggregates, five skanda, five aggregates. The five aggregates are form, sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness. The first one, form, is referring to the body, whereas the mind is explained by the latter four, sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness. So our physical body is the form, and it's an aggregate of the four great elements, the earth, wind, fire, and water. And our mental state is the aggregate of the other four, sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness. So whenever we're meditating and experiencing the phenomenon that's triggered by the body and mind, we can use as a window to contemplate and understand them, think about them as an aggregate, a composite of these smaller elements. None of them exist intrinsically or by itself or permanently. All of them are just aggregates that come together according to the conditions and cause and conditions, and they will disintegrate when the cause and condition no longer exists.
那为什么这些维系的元素它会结合在一起呢？是因为我们过去的业力，身体是一个结合体，不是真实的。我们会有这个身体呢，是因为我们过去的业力，然后在现在呢，所产生的结果，或者是说呢，它是一个反射，也就是说呢，就好像镜子的形象，或是 这个水中呢看到这个月亮哦，它是虚幻的。那如果说我们心中没有创造这个业呢，哦，这些元素呢就不会聚合起来构成身体。那如果我们把这个身体呢是认为真实的呢，就好像我们把这个镜子里面的影像呢跟水里的月亮呢把它认为是真实的，其实呢我们的身体呢跟我们的心理呢，它是一直不断的在变化，一直不断的变化，它没有真正一个不变的主体存在。
The reason why these subtle elements that we mentioned, the four elements of fire, earth, water, and wind, as well as the mental elements of sensation, perception, volition, consciousness, the reason why they come together as a composite is due to it's the result of our past karma. And so they lack a very intrinsic or solid existence. In fact, they have often been likened as the reflection in water. So had there not been karma that is created in our own mind, then these elements would not come together and forms our physical body. So if we mistaken this physical body as real, as permanent, as a synonymous of self, then it would be like taking the reflection in the mirror, the reflection on water as a true entity, and that would be a faulty understanding. And the understanding instead that we should have is the body and mind are constantly undergoing changes. It does not stay fixed and it's not permanent.
如果我们能够了解这个身体呢，它是虚幻的本质呢，心就会平静下来，我们的烦恼呢就会清除。为什么呢？我们的烦恼呢，所有的烦恼都是因为贪嗔痴所升起的。那为什么有这些贪嗔痴的念头呢？最主要都是因为我们执取我们的身体，我们把我们这个身体呢认为是我的，然后就想要保护它，然后为这个身体呢追求利益。那因为这个身体呢，我们又产生了五种的欲望，财色名食睡。所以我们要消除对这个身体的执取呢，也要想办法呢去破除这个身体是真实坚固的观点。但是呢我们这个身体是我的这种观念呢是很难去破除的。像佛经上面有讲说这个萨迦耶见，就是我们对这个身体的这个看法呢是这么样的坚固，就好像我们要把一座山呢把它移开这么困难。也就是说呢，我们把这个身体是我的这个观念呢放在我们的心里面呢是非常的坚固的。所以呢憨山大师就是教我们把这个身体呢把它认为是不是真实的，是虚幻的。也就是说呢，不要太在乎这个身体，在打坐的时候呢不要太在乎腿痛啊，身体的痛啊，那就可以慢慢的开始修心了。
So if we're able to reach the understanding that the body is illusory, it's impermanent, then naturally with that understanding in mind, the mind will likely to calm down more easily and the vexations that we experience on a day-to-day basis will go away. Why is it that we have vexations? The vexations are generated because of our greed, anger, and ignorance. or misunderstanding, delusions, greed, anger, and delusions. And these all generate because we are attached to our mind, to our body. We think that our body represents the self. So with this attachment to body, then further vexations are derived, and they can be categorized as the attachment to wealth, the attachment to sensory pleasures or sensuous pleasures, attachment to fame, status, and also the attachment to food as well as sleep. So those are manifestations of the three fundamental poisons. So if we're able to really eradicate our vexation, it's very important for us to first see that the physical body lacks a solid entity. Yet to break away from this false understanding of the body as solid and as monolithic, that it stands by itself, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to break away from that understanding. In the sutras, there's an analogy saying that the difficulty is like moving a mountain. That is why Master Hanshan, he teaches us to try to contemplate and break, to see that the physical body is illusion. And when we're sitting in meditation, try not to pay too much attention to the physical body. And by doing so, the mind will slowly calm down, and then we can really start with the practice of cultivating the mind.
那如果说我们呢，知道呢，我们做很多的事情呢，做善恶善业呢，恶业的主宰呢，都是因为我们有这个身见，有这个把这个身体执着为我的这种观念的时候呢，便在这个生死之中投出头没，虽然有苦有乐，但是呢。 真实的状况是苦多乐少，那知道苦多乐少之后呢，便开始警觉，必须要有这个超脱三界的有漏善恶，才能解决终极的问题。那怎么样超脱呢？就是先要把这个五蕴呢所构成的。 这个自我身呢，就是在接受苦报的同时呢，又在造作有漏有为的善恶诸业，这就是苦的原因，也就是四圣地的苦地和极地。那五蕴身心是苦，是事实，是苦的果报。 那只有呢，知道苦，然后要断这个苦呢，才能够处理这个生死的苦海。If
we are continuing to attach to this notion of the physical body as the self, we are attached to this misunderstanding, then no matter what we do, whether it's a behavior that's considered good or bad, it's still attached to this concept of self. And with that misunderstanding, we'll forever be in this cyclical cycle of karma and reincarnation. As we go through these cycles, of course, there are joy and sufferings. Both are intermixed into our experience. But the truth of the matter is there's tend to be a lot more suffering than joy. So it's very important for us to try to transcend that. And by transcending is that we need to break away from this understanding of seeing the physical body as a solid entity. Otherwise, we will continue to be in this cycle, continue to receive, create new karma, receive retribution at the same time, not breaking away from it. So this concept of needing to transcend and to see through the illusory nature of physical body is also connected to the concept of Four Noble Truths, that their life, the cycle is suffering, there's dukkha, And the cause of suffering is to have this delusion of body, or there's an entity that is called self.
好，接下来观心无相，光明皎洁。哦，这句话呢，就是在我们一念不生的时候呢，哦，便可以彻见自心，了无一物，干干净净，哦，圆圆明明，充满法界。所以呢，哦，憨山德清大师呢，他主张观心呢，哦，是很重要的。那在观的时候呢，不管这个心呢是静还是懒，也就是说是好是坏，是真或是妄，哦，只要我们用这个观照的功夫呢，哦，便是一种修行的方法。也就是说我们随时呢都在观察，哦，都在体验，哦，这个心的状况。
And moving on to the next verse, when not a single thought arises, emptiness yet perceptive, still yet illuminating, then we'll reach the understanding of great emptiness. And by doing so, we need to first contemplate the mind as formless, yet the mind is still bright and pure. And how do we reach that kind of state? According to Master Hanshan, it's very important for us to continuously contemplate and observe the mind. And that will be our anchor. It's a method that we can use. So when we are engaged in contemplation and examining our thoughts, it doesn't really matter if the thought is considered pure or impure. We just observe and contemplate the thought. And that in itself is the practice.
观心无相，也就是说我们的心呢，我们的念头呢，它是不断的流动的，不断的在无常变化。如果说我们的心呢有这个不变的特质，哦，它不会变化的话呢，我们修行就没有意义。哦，比如说善良的人呢，他就永远是善良的，那邪恶的人呢，他永远是邪恶的。如果呢心不是这样子的，哦，它总是会变化的，那一个普通人的心呢跟一个人圣人的心是一样的。为什么呢？只是一般的人的心呢，它是烦恼的特征，而圣人的心呢，它是智慧的特征。所以这边主要是强调呢，哦，心它是就是我们的念头呢，它是不断的在变化流动的。那只要我们呢不要依着这个妄念呢，跟着这个妄念呢跑来跑去，哦，我们的心呢就是很光明很皎洁的。
And so the main point here is that the mind is formless.It's not a fixed entity. So the mind is continuously flowing, changing. It lacks the characteristics of permanence. If it's not the case, then otherwise there will be no point to practice. If the mind doesn't change, then what's the point of seeking improvement? A bad person will forever be a bad person, a good person will forever be a good person. So because that's not the case, so it also further illustrates the mind is indeed changing, and that is why we need to practice to improve our understanding. And the mind, actually, there's in itself, the essence of the mind, there's no difference between an ordinary person's mind versus a saintly person or an enlightened person's mind. It's only that ordinary people or worldly people,What the mind manifests or it attached to is vexations, while someone who's enlightened, their mind is no longer attached to vexations and it's full of wisdom. So as we engage in practice, it is very important for us to again contemplate and observe the thoughts. But at the same time, we are not chasing after the wandering thoughts.If we're able to practice like so, and then gradually things will settle down, and the mind is the brilliance of the mind will reveal itself.
一念不生，虚灵即照。好，一念不生，虚灵即照呢？也就是说，我们在打坐的时候呢，没有什么念头哦。但是呢，这时候我们的心呢没有念头，但是心是非常的明亮、明朗、哦、清楚的。那这不是哦，不是说都是空白一片。空白一片呢，不是真的无色，因为空白呢也是一个特征。没有念头就是没有特征。那在这样的情况下，哦，心是不动的，而且心是非常清楚的觉察一切。虽然我们说智慧是空性，但是它这个空呢不是说都没有任何的作用，它是有作用的。是什么样作用呢？就是心本身不动，但是呢它反射和照亮一切，就好像月亮或是在太阳，它只要有这个水的本体呢，它就会反射。那虽然呢每个地方呢它反射的这个月亮的形象呢都不一样，但是呢月亮它本身保持不变，不断的发光，然后月亮呢它也不会认为我在发光，然后太阳呢也不会认为我在发光，它只是发光而已。
So when we sit in meditation, there's really not a lot of thought that is going through our mind. Without thought, but still very remaining very clear and lucid of what's going on. So when we sit meditating, there's no thought, it doesn't mean that the mind sort of goes into a blank state or some sort of void. Void or a blank state is not formlessness because it's still exhibiting characteristics. Instead, the kind of thoughtlessness that we're aiming for is that there aren't a lot of wandering thoughts, yet it's still, your mind is clearly illuminating and knowing what's going on. So when we explain these principles of Buddhism, we talk about wisdom being empty. But this kind of emptiness, again, it's not void. Emptiness is not void. It mostly means impermanence. And it also serves functions. It has the function of observing and able to perform everyday tasks. It's unmoving, but at the same time, it has the ability to reflect all phenomena, to observe it. So it's like a great mirror. That's an analogy that's often used to describe the state of the mind. Or we can think of it as the sun and the moon as it's reflected in the water. The shape of the water may differ, but it doesn't change the moon or the sun itself. And the moon and the sun, they're not going to think to themselves that, I am shining right now. Instead, they simply shine and illuminate without thinking that themselves is making the light.
好像有的时候在这个带禅修的时候呢，或是跟禅众互动的时候呢，都会有时候问他说，你坐在那里打坐的时候呢，你是用什么方法？然后有时候呢，有些禅众呢，会回应说，我就是坐在那里，不用方法，不用方法。然后他说呢，心没有妄念，就是坐在那里。那这个不是一念不生哦，这个是。心不是很清楚，心是不清楚的，只是坐在那边，坐在那边做什么呢？ 啊，坐在那边休息。哦，所以呢，我们常常都会有这种误解，哦，就是打坐，就是坐在那边，哦，身体不动，然后心呢也不动，也在休息。哦，这个是错误的哦。也就是说呢，我们打坐的时候呢，身体不动，但是呢，心是不断的回到方法的。哦，什么是方法呢？比如说我们是练习这个放松的方法，去体验我们身体每一个局部的部位的感觉。我感觉到紧的话，就把这个力量放掉。这个是方法。哦，或是我们在这个随习的时候呢，去体验呼吸进出的感觉。或是我们在数息的时候呢，心不断的回到这个呼吸数的这个数字上。也就是说，我们在打坐的时候呢，身体不动，心是不断回到方法了，不是空白。空白呢，这是休息，这不是正确的禅修观念。
So the verse is, not a single thought arise, empty yet perceptive, still but illuminating, complete like the great emptiness containing all that is wonderful. So oftentimes during retreats, meditation retreats, we will have interviews with people who participate in the retreat, and we often ask what method do you use?And sometimes we get answers like, I just sit there, I'm not using any particular method, I have no wandering thoughts, and I just sit there. That kind of state is actually erroneous. The fact that not a thought arises and there's no wandering thought, it doesn't mean that kind of state is equivalent to the one that is described in the verse. Instead,In that kind of state, when the person is not using any particular method, the mind is actually hanging out, resting, and has become dull. It's not being sharp and lucid anymore. So this is a very important understanding or misunderstanding that we need to be very cleared of. When the body is not moving and the mind is not moving, doesn't mean that you just sit there, let the mind rest and become dull.Instead, the body not moves, but the mind has to continuously return to the method that you're using. What are some of these methods? One of which is relaxation, relaxing, attending to and relaxing specific parts of your body. So you continue to use the method and scan the body, and whenever you observe something is tight, then you release it. That's one. And the other one is following the breath.And not yet another method is counting breath. So again, you bring your mind again and again back to your method of the number, counting the number. So while the body does not move, it's very important to keep in mind that the mind has to keep returning and stay on the method.
好，这个虚灵即照呢，啊，刚刚有讲过，就是月亮呢它只是在照，哦，月亮跟太阳它只是在照，但是呢看这个镜子呢或是水面的状况，哦，它会有不同的形式产生。这就是然后呢不同的形式产生，这是第一个。那第二个呢，这个月亮呢跟太阳呢他在照的时候呢，他也不会一直觉得，哦，是我在照，哦，是我努力的保持照耀不断的发光。他月亮的太阳呢，他没有觉得自己在照的这种想法，哦，跟观念，这是第二个。
The verse states,empty yet perceptive, still yet illuminating. And going back to the example that we used earlier, the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon continues to illuminate and to shine, and it recasts its reflection on the surface of water. The water surface can be different, maybe rippling or different shapes. So while the mind is like the moon and the sun, that stays the same, but the manifestation, because of the form that it's illuminating, the manifestation can be different. So that is one level of understanding. And the second one is the sun and the moon, while they're casting light, they do not think to themselves that I am shining, I'm casting the light. The mind doesn't have this dualistic kind of thinking that there's me that is shining onto other objects. So that's also another understanding we need to have when we practice.
好，为什么讲这两个观念呢？哦，这两个观念跟下一句有关系。圆同太虚，具含众妙。为什么跟这一句话有关系呢？因为刚刚讲到第一个观念，就是月亮呢跟太阳呢，它在照耀的时候呢，它是这个水面的状况，它会产生不同的样貌，也就是说呢，它这个是众生的状况呢，它给予不同的回应，也就是说是不同的根器，不同的菩萨呢，它给予事实的回应。啊，第二个呢，为什么说月亮跟太阳呢，他只是在照，他没有觉得自己在照，就是开悟的人呢，他已经没有自我中心了，他就是不断的在帮助照耀众生，不断的在帮助。那他在做这件事的时候呢，他不会觉得哦，我做了，我是这个我在做，他也不会觉得呢哦，我做了这么多，我做了这么好，我或是我做的不好，他只是在做，只是在做。哦，这个我们平常可以练习哦。比如说，来当义工，当然我们尽力把事情做好，但是呢，只是在做，不断的做，哦，尽力的做，但是呢，这个结果呢，不要太在意，那也不要觉得呢，哦，是我在做，哦，我做了这个义工，我完成，我成就了这件事，然后啊，这时候呢，就会有这个自我中心产生了。我们可以用这种方式来练习，好，哦，啊，这是开悟的境界。那所以为什么是圆同太虚呢？具含众妙。也就是说呢，这些各中的巧妙呢，就是是众生的状况呢有不同的回应啊。圆同太虚呢，其实没有一个我在里面啊去成就这些事情，我只是尽我的能力尽力去做，那结果是什么样呢？啊，是众缘和合的结果啊。圆同太虚，众缘和合的结果，具含众妙，是不同的状况，有不同的方便善巧和反应。
Complete like the great emptiness containing all that is wonderful. The reason why I explained those two understandings earlier, like water, different surface on the water reflecting, causing a different sort of distortion of reflection, but the entity itself stays the same. That's one understanding. The other one is the sun and the moon are not saying that I am casting light, I am shining. They just do so. So those two understanding are directly relevant to our having understanding of this second part of the verse, complete like the great emptiness containing all that is wonderful. So again, the moon and the sun are not going to feel that it's like an enlightened person. And when someone has reached enlightenment, the sense of ego has already been erased or dissolved. So they just continue to help sentient beings manifesting different kind of forms, different methods, depending on the need of the person that is on the receiving end of the help. At the same time, because there lacks an ego, the enlightened person is not going to feel that I have done it, I have done so much, or I've done so well, or what I have just did was lousy. There's no sense of I did what. It's just continuous action, continuous commitment. And this is something that we can actually translate into our daily practice with whatever we do, that we do our very best, and we continuously exert our effort. But we don't have to really care so much about the result. And that this similarly applies to when we're volunteering here at the temple, that do not think that it's me who's volunteering or I'm the one who has helped to accomplish that event, made that event possible. We try not to think like that. In a state of enlightenment, there's no sense of I or the matters that you do. It just continues exerting the effort as a form of practice. And meanwhile, as you continue to practice, continue to try to benefit sentient beings, the mind stays clear and unmoving, yet there are different kind of methods and manifestations that you can use to reach out to different kind of sentient beings.
Oh, 接下来, 不出不入, 无状无貌。 我们打坐呢, 修行呢, 是为了培养心灵的层次。 那如果说, 我们可以成功的开始关心呢, 那么所有的新的功能, 还有作用呢, 都是自己控制的。 但是呢, 只要一个念头升起来呢, 哦, 就会黯然失色。 怎么说呢? 比如说我们在方法, 在禅坐的时候, 把方法练习得很好, 哦, 练习得很好的时候呢, 那突然呢, 哦, 自己动了一个念头, 诶, 我现在在, 哦, 什么境界里面, 哦, 我现在把数字放下了, 哦, 或是, 我现在感觉到这个身体的感觉没有了，当我们有这个念头的产生的同时呢，我们的身体的感觉就出现了。所以呢，当我们在练习方法的时候呢，觉得我进到一个无限 广大的空间，心是无限扩大的空间，或是呢，我发现了一个无限扩大的地方了，我解脱了。其实呢，这还是在现实生活中呢，这还是在有限的范围内。那只有真正的不出不入呢，才是无限。无限呢，它是一个圆周。 也没有圆周，它没有圆周，所以没有办法找到一个入口。那有的人呢，会认为，离开是为了想要去一个更好的地方。其实呢，没有地方要离去，也就是说呢，极大呢就等于极小，粗呢就等于路，都是一样的。比如说太虚大师呢，他在第一次开悟的时候呢，他看到了无限的光。 还有音，他觉得自己呢，在一个非常深远的境界里面。但是呢，这个还不是真的开悟，不是太虚，这还是有境界。那在他第二次的经验的时候呢，他已经没有什么东西可以解释或说明的了。如果有东西可以解释跟说明的呢，他。 他都不是就近的。
So the third verse on this page is neither going out nor coming in without appearance or characteristics. A way to understand this is when we're cultivating our mind, all the functions of the mind can be controlled by us. Yeah, whenever there is one attachment to, if I become attached to one thought, that give a rise to one thought, then we will lose that kind of attainment. So another way to explain this is when we are meditating, sometimes we enter some sort of really good state. We feel that there's no body, or I'm counting my numbers so well. But the irony is that as soon as you give rise to that thought that, oh, I'm experiencing nobody, or you give rise to a thought that I'm counting very well right now, immediately all the physical sensations will arise again. Then you sort of, you will lose that state that you were in. So, or sometimes people, when they're entering a deeper state of meditation, they may feel they have entered a state where everything feels boundless and you are just bath in limitless light. Again, if you give rise to this thought that, oh, I am entering a very good state, then you immediately have exited that very state of no entry and no exiting. So ultimately, there's no, just like the verse is explaining, there is no entering and no exiting, no coming in and no going out and no coming in. So there isn't really any place we're trying to get to. This is it. So when Master Taishi, once he had a deeper experience in meditation, he indeed was in a state of boundless light and sound. So he felt that he had reached a very profound state. But the very fact that he felt that he was experiencing all these shows that it's really not a truly enlightened state. It wasn't until the second time where he entered another deeper experience and where he couldn't find any words to describe the experience that is more aligned with the state of enlightenment.
再来，百千方便总归一窍。方便呢，就是我们帮助自己还有帮助他人解脱的各种方法。哦，那什么是解脱呢？解脱就是从无明到有智慧。哦，所以我们所有的这些帮助别人解脱的方法呢，哦，怎么样解脱呢？就是帮助别人从无明到变成有智慧。总归一窍呢，窍是这个关键的意思。那我们帮助别人的这些百千种的方法呢，帮助别人解脱的方法呢，它都源自于一个清净的心。哦，一窍，窍就是清净心。也就是说呢，我们的心越清净，好，我们有越多的这个方便善巧呢，去帮助别人。啊，当然，当我们在这个帮助别人的时候呢，心不够清净呢，我们就会有很多的障碍。这些障碍呢，是怎么产生的呢？哦，这是因为自我中心所产生的。就是自己给自己的障碍。
The last part says, countless skillful means arise out of one mind. The skillful means that's talked about here are ways and methods that we can use to help people, help sentient beings go from a state of vexation to wisdom.There are many different kinds of methods one can use to help sentient beings as well as oneself to accomplish liberation. And this liberation is to go from a deluded understanding to a mind with a lucid, clear, wisdom mind. So how do we do that? As the verse states, it all comes down to this one pivotal point of pure mind. And when the mind, the more pure the mind is, the purer the mind is, the more expedient means that you will be able to uncover to reach out to sentient beings. On the other hand, if the mind isn't pure, if we're so attached to ego or of a sense of self, then oftentimes, even if you're trying to help and to reach different sentient beings, obstacles would often arise.
有时候呢，有菩萨就是问我说，有时候在做事情的时候呢，都不知道我做这件事呢，到底是为了自己还是为了大家？其实我们平常呢，可以多有一些时间禅修。都有一些时间打坐，那透过这个打坐的练习呢，我们会对自己的心呢，越来越清楚，越来越清楚。那当我们对自己的念头呢，跟动机呢，掌握的越清楚的时候呢，我们在做事情的时候就会知道我们做这件事，到底是为了别人，为了大众，还是为了自己？所以呢，禅修很重要。
So oftentimes, volunteers will talk to me and they question that when they do all these, perform all these different services, they sort of lose sight of what they're doing it for, and they will question, they ask me, I'm kind of lost, I no longer know whether I'm doing this out of selfish reason, doing it for myself, or am I really doing it to serve others. So for questions like that, I feel that it's very important for us to spend more time meditating, because when we sit in meditation, the mind settles down and it becomes clear. And we become clear about the way our mind works, as well as the thoughts that go through the mind and our motivations. Then by sitting in meditation and becoming more acquainted and becoming more understand our own mind better, then we will know the answer whether whatever we do, we're doing it out of selfish reasons for self-benefit or we're really doing it to serve others.
好，我们时间过得很快，才讲三句话，三个句子就快要吃饭了。好，我们还有五分钟，请问大家有没有问题？
So time flies. The verse is long, but we've actually only covered three lines, and it's almost time for lunch. So for the remaining time, I would like to ask if you have any questions at this point.
Oh, 没有问题，那就再讲一下好了。
Since there are no questions, then let's continue.
好，接下来是不依行气，行气自爱。那什么是行气呢？我从字面上来看呢，行气就是能量的意思。那也就是说打坐的时候呢，可以把它归类为气，也就是说这个是生命的能量。那有些能量呢是看得见的，有些能量是看不见的啊。比如说我们在路上看到风吹这个树枝树叶，这个树枝会摇摆，我们是看不到那个能量的，但是我们看到这个树枝摇摆的结果。那这些行气呢， 就是表示一切形式的能量，包含有形及无形的。
The next part is independent of material existence, which is ever an obstruction. Over here, material existence, I interpret it as, you can see it as energy or qi, a kind of life force. And some of these energy or life force can be observable and some are not. For instance, when we walk on the street, we see the trees moving. We don't see the energy of the wind directly, but we see the result of this energy, the wind, and so the tree wavers. So some of these energies has forms and some are formless.
所以说有这只要有这个有形无形的能量呢，哦，就有障碍。所以这我们不要依赖这些有形无形的形色呢来超越妄想，哦，这些是妄想的原因。
So if we're overly dependent on these form or the energies or material existence with form or no form, these are actually all obstacles that will create obstacles for us. So in our practice, we should not be dependent on any of these energies or existence.
好，接下来，默认妄想，妄想生怪。也就是说，我们不管在日常生活中呢，或是打坐之中呢，我都会，尤其在打坐的时候，都会有这些稀奇古怪的念头产生。那我们在日常生活之中呢，可以觉察到这些念头吗？那我们真的相信这些念头是自己想出来的吗？大家相信自己的经历，自己的计划，还有自己的能力，还有自己的知识吗？那这些是什么东西呢？他们都只是一连串的连接的接续的妄想。如果说呢，我们依着这些妄想妄念呢，去产生一些行动呢，就会有一些奇怪的事情发生了。
So, the second part is, do not cling to deluded thoughts. These give birth to illusions or delusions. So, for those of you, that sit in meditation or even our daily activities, oftentimes we have all sorts of bizarre or, interesting thoughts. So the point is, can we really see them clearly? Are we able to observe them and see through them? Oftentimes we rely on our knowledge or ability, thinking that we are this and that. But this kind of confidence or this belief in the ability or believing in a particular concept, these at the bottom line, they are merely a string of connected wandering thoughts.The streams of connected wandering thoughts. So if we're relying on these wandering thoughts as the basis for our actions, then it will tend to lead to obstacles or unwholesome outcomes.
所以我们在这个日常生活中呢，知道妄想，知道这些有这些妄念，但是呢，不要随着这个妄念呢，去做一些事情出来，我们就是知道这些事情。那通常我们有这么多的妄念呢，都是因为我们有欲望，都是由这个无欲所创造出来的。比如说，追求这个物质生活上的满足，或是这个肉欲。那比如说呢，我们以吃东西为例。如果说在吃一顿饭之后呢，我们会感到满意吗？当然在吃饱的那一刹那呢，我们会感到是满意的。 但是呢，经过呢几小时之后呢，我们又开始饿了，又开始渴望食物的。所以呢，这个欲望呢是没有止境的循环。那这种把这种欲望呢常常挂在心上的话呢，它就会让我们的心产生不安。那这些不安的心呢，如果说我们这些欲望呢都一直有呢，到老呢这些不安的心都会一直跟着我们。
So it's important for us to clearly see that these are wandering thoughts and there's really no need for us to chase after them or to address them or do something to fulfill it. We have so many wandering thoughts because of our desires, the various sorts of desires that are related to materialistic satisfaction or sensuous satisfaction. So let's take food as an example. That when we eat food, do you feel satisfied by the food? Perhaps you are, but the satisfaction is only instantaneous. And very soon, a couple of hours later, you become hungry and dissatisfied again. So desires are bottomless, endless cycles. And so if we're attached to them, the mind will actually become less and less stable, destabilized. And if we continue this trend, even as we age, the mind will still operate in this very unstable way.
所以呢，这个就是寒山大师教我们的这个观心明，就是我们一开始呢，先从观察身体开始，然后我们要把这个身体呢观成是因缘和合，是虚幻的，然后呢，开始我们再来观心。那观心的时候呢，我们也不是说没有念头呆呆地坐在那里就是用方法。那我们在做的时候呢，身体不动，但是心呢是不断的在运作的。那其实呢就是在练习我们的觉察觉照的力量。
So this is what Master Hanshan has is trying to teach us that in this verse of contemplating mind, he first taught us to first observe the body, contemplate the physical body, and to arrive at the understanding to realize that the physical body is a composite of different elements and cause and conditions. It lacks an intrinsic entity itself. So that is the first level of understanding. And then, when we move on to contemplate, observe the mind, the thoughts, we are not trying to reach a state where there's no thought and we are just sitting there idly and the mind is resting and the mind is dull. That is not the objective, the goal that we're trying to reach. We are trying to continue to reach a state where the mind is calm, yet at the same time it's illuminating and continuously observing and staying on the method. So these are concrete steps of practice.
好，今天的分享就到这里，谢谢大家，阿弥陀佛。
And this is my sharing for today. Thank you very much for attending the talk.